Hey dudes, this is Michael, one of the co-hosts of Two Dudes in the Nest, the show you're about to listen to. If you are a first-time listener and you've picked one of these older episodes to listen to, maybe because it's one of your favorite games on the NES, I don't blame you. However, I just want to warn you that some of these episodes are 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. And this is before we got new audio equipment. This is really before we even knew what we were doing. But we want to leave them on the feed as long as we can because we want to have plenty of episodes for people to listen to. I just want to give a fair bit of warning before we get started. If you're an older listener and you're going back to listen to an episode again, you may hear something new because right before the episode starts here, we're going to have an advertisement, which is probably not what you heard the first time through. But now we started doing ads in our shows, so we're going to have an ad here. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. And if you do enjoy, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to as many episodes as you can. It always helps us out. And tell a friend too. That'd be nice. Enjoy the show.
Hello, this is Marvin the Martian.
And your host, Doug Abel, from Talking About My Generation podcast.
And you lucky Earthlings are listening to Two Dudes in a Nest podcast.
With your hosts, Michael and Justin, on the Retro Junkies Network.
Oh, goody.
Hey, Jess.
What's up, man?
You want to play a game this week?
Yeah, I think a lot of the D-padders out there have been waiting for this game. Been requesting it for a long time, just they've been dying for it, so we're just gonna go ahead and give it to them, right?
I hope you're not talking about Punch Out.
Yeah.
We're not doing Punch Out.
We're doing the alleged sequel to Punch Out, right?
Yeah, we're doing Power Punch 2.
Which is awkward. No Power Punch 1.
There's no such thing. Just Power Punch 2.
Also, should have been the follow-up to Punch Out, but not. And not even close in gaming-wise, right?
No, we'll get into that in the gameplay. This is really a super dud, but it's got some great history, so the history segment's going to be awesome, I hope.
I've been preparing actually tonight for this episode by hitting the heavy bag out in the basement. So any of the we're actually live this week for those of you that are listening that are not watching live. If you're listening to this later, we're
So
doing this live. I don't know if anybody's actually watching.
No.
Nobody's watching. All right.
No, not tonight. I think it
Sweet.
was you mentioned hitting the heavy bag. I just wanted to go on record to say that I've been running on the beach with Apollo. So.
I wonder how many people that go to Philadelphia run up the steps.
I'm guessing every single person that goes to Philadelphia.
I got a feeling if I did it though, I'm not saying that I would be original in this because I'm sure a lot of people have done this too, but I would have to do it in full sweatpants, gray sweatpants, sweatshirt. Probably pay some homeless people to run behind me
I would
or
grow out
something.
my hair a little bit too, kind of like mullet almost, like Rocky. Got to go all out.
Did Sylvester Stallone use steroids back then?
I don't think so.
He just
I
uses
don't
them
know.
now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't be 60 years old and look like that without using steroids, I don't think.
Well, no, he admits it now. He's like, we should legalize this.
Well, whatever.
HGH
Hey, I know
use.
there's.
Like, he thinks that there should be HGH use more widespread. So,
Well, I
I
know
don't think that's a good
the
idea.
cool the cool well not so cool, but the only interesting thing I know about Rocky, any of the Rocky movies, is I think it was Rocky IV, the one where he's super skinny. His diet for that movie was like 2 eggs a day. That was it, pretty much. It was like he would eat an egg for breakfast and then he would drink an egg for lunch, and that was pretty much it.
Speaking of freakish diets, this has just come out like this past week or maybe 2 weeks ago. Have you seen the Rock released his diet for this Hercules movie?
No, what is it, like 6,000 calories a day or something?
You know, surprisingly, it's not a lot of calories, but it's a lot of protein. It's pretty much just all protein. Just everything's protein. And have you seen him lately? He doesn't even look human
anymore.
Is he
bigger?
He's big. If that's even thinkable, it is. He's bigger.
So. Yeah, I would never have imagined he could get any bigger. But
I
bet he poops a lot.
Yeah, and you know his farts have to smell awful. His protein farts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
okay. I got an idea. How about we do some history?
And now, Justin's historical tidbits and trivia.
All right, let's do some history. All right. The history of the Rock, Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No, history of Power,
Power
Punch 2.
Power Punch 2.
Everybody's dying to know the history of Power Punch 2. So Power Punch 2 was created or developed by a game called Beam Software. It was published by a company called American Software. On the engine proprietary, and released on June 12th of 1992. That's pretty much it on the history.
Really?
Do you know anything else? Well, the game's based on this guy named Mark Tough Guy Tyler, who bears no resemblance to anyone, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's true.
He has a similar 33-0 record, pretty much similar to no one. Not that I would know of in that time, right?
So,
of course, this is all a big joke. Mike Tyson was originally supposed to be the head honcho in this game. Just like it was supposed to be a follow-up to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, which many of you guys are just itching for us to do. And we promise we're going to get to it. But he was supposed to be in this game called Mike Tyson's Intergalactic Power Punch. Hence the name where the name Power Punch comes from. I don't know why they went ahead and made it Power Punch 2 after the Intergalactic Power Punch didn't come through. But the game pretty much stayed the same, but they had to take Mike Tyson out. Or they were kind of forced to by the kind of antics of Mike Tyson during this time. This game, it's important to note that this game was released in June of 1992. And that is important because of why?
Because Mike Tyson is a terrible person.
Because he was about to go to prison in June of 1992. He was convicted of rape on February 10th of 1992. He was already in prison. I'm sorry, I misspoke. He went to prison on March 26th of 1992. So that being said, the top brass at Nintendo kind of wring their hands a little bit about Mike Tyson being the original protagonist in this game. And so they had to change it. And so the game pretty much stayed the same, but they had to remove Mike Tyson, of course. And Mike Tyson was replaced by none other than Mark Tough Guy Tyler. And so the game, so if those of you who are not familiar with what Mike Tyson was accused of and convicted of, was rape of a young lady in Indianapolis. And
kids, if you don't know what that is, don't ask your parents.
Yeah.
You don't
start that conversation.
Maybe we probably shouldn't have even mentioned it on the show, but.
Well, it is history. To be historically accurate.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff that's history that doesn't really need to be spoken. Just so.
Like everything Benjamin Franklin ever did. But anyway. Mike Tyson, I just wanted to kind of go on this tangent about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was always that kind of, he was definitely the heel which is a new term that I've just learned and I wanted to use it. Heel. Have you heard this term? The heel, like,
yeah, it's a wrestling. I know it from wrestling.
Yeah, but see, I've watched a lot of wrestling, and I don't ever remember somebody being called a heel. I don't know. That's just me.
Well, I do. I don't. There's the face and the heel. The face is the good guy. The heel's the bad guy.
But anyway, so we had. So Tyson was definitely a heel back in his day, right? He was not a nice guy, and by any means, and we're not even talking his 1992 conviction. We're talking about before that. He was kind of the bad guy of the ring. Everybody watched boxing when he sold boxing matches because people wanted to see Mike Tyson get a little humbled. Of course, he did by Buster Douglas a few years prior to this game's release. But, you know, Mike Tyson's always kind of been that controversial figure. But at the same token, if we look at Mike Tyson today, I don't think there's been another public figure or sports figure or anybody of that nature that has made a bigger turnaround. Like somebody that was just really despised by, you know, humanity. You know, he was, you know, obviously the legal troubles. He was not a nice person. You know, even in the trial that he was undergoing, he was like arrogant about it. But now he's like the most likable guy you could imagine. You know,
I think it's that new tattoo he's got.
He actually says he regrets that.
I'm sure he does. It's all over his face.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just funny because Mike Tyson, usually people like that just, you know, they don't change personalities like that. Of course, he's gotten sober, which could play a factor into it, you know. What do you think about Mike Tyson?
I don't know much about him outside of the video games. I'm not a big boxing fan. I know about him in video games, and I know about him in the movies that he's been in recently. And I know he was a knockout-type boxer. He would just try to knock people out. He wasn't really like as far as I know, he wasn't really a technical guy. He just would hit you really hard and knock you down. Very brawler-esque street fighter.
Recently, he said that if MMA had been popular when he was coming up, he would have gone to MMA, which is interesting. I think his style probably would have matched MMA a little. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, MMA is that perfect mixture. You've got like half the guys are just brawlers and half the guys are really technical karate, you know, fighters. It's just it's an interesting mix. So. He probably, I tell you, if in my opinion, Mike Tyson, if he was in the MMA world today, I'm not sure anybody would want to fight him. Because his punch, only wearing a 3-ounce glove, would probably just take your head off.
Yeah, and then he'd bite your head off if that didn't work.
You know the theory behind that, right? Have you ever heard the theory behind the whole bite?
No.
So, I feel like this is relevant because Mike Tyson was pseudo in this game. But anyway, so Tyson fought Holyfield.
Hey, we're just going to get all of our Tyson talk out of the way. That way we can save Punch-Out for the game. You know what I mean?
Because you don't want us to really talk about this game.
No. It's not that We'll just much. Talk about Mike Tyson the whole time.
Right.
And then,
so anyway, Tyson.
That way during Punch-Out. Yeah.
Right. Tyson, the deal with Tyson was, He and Holyfield, the first time they fought, it was supposed to be Tyson had like 2 or 3 fights prior to coming, you know, since he'd gotten out of prison before the Holyfield fight. And the Holyfield fight was supposed to be his like comeback. You know, this was supposed to be, you know, the king has returned. And Holyfield kind of wore him out in that first fight and actually knocked him out in the 11th round. I'm sorry. And so he knocked him out. And so Tyson was, you know, obviously a little disgraced by it. So they wanted to do the rematch. So they worked on getting the rematch and it took them a couple years to do it. And when they finally got the rematch set, Tyson, after the first couple of rounds, was getting beat again. You know, Holyfield was beating him up pretty bad. And so Tyson decided that instead of being embarrassed and lose the second time to Holyfield, I'm just going to do something to get myself disqualified. And that's what he said. And then Tyson's former trainer, Teddy Atlas, was the person who actually brought this to light. He said that he did this. It was the plan all along that if he went in the ring and started getting beat, he was just going to do something crazy to get himself disqualified, so he wouldn't actually technically lose.
And that was his idea of what he needed to do, was bite his ear. He couldn't, like,
I guess, yeah,
hit below the belt a few times until they disqualified him or something.
Yeah.
So, well, the history of the game. How about the history of the game? We got any more of that? I feel like Nintendo actually, this is kind of Nintendo's fault, this game, because they wanted a sequel to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. But they didn't want to do it themselves for some reason. They said, you know, we're just going to give
it to
these other people.
Right. And so they sent it out to another party, Beam, which... for better or worse, you know, not the best. Let's just be honest.
Did they do anything else while we're on the subject of Beam?
They did some PC games. Let's see. Aaron Hickman's going to roll over on this part because I don't remember. I'm going to have to look it up real quick. They did Aussie Rules Footy and International Cricket. It was targeted at an Australian audience.
And, all right. So, these are the people that Nintendo decided needed to take on the sequel to Punch-Out.
So the people in the Nintendo boardroom were basically like, okay, we need somebody. We had this great game, one of the best sports games that we've ever had. And we need to make a sequel, but we really don't want to do it because we're kind of lazy. So what we're going to do is we're going to hire it out. Who can we get? Who were those guys that made the cricket game?
Yeah, the cricket game.
Yeah, that cricket game was awesome. Let's get those guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, probably not the wisest move. Mm-hmm. I think that, I don't know. Here's what I think. In hindsight, because when they found out Mike Tyson went to jail, they had the opportunity to just can it. That's what they should have done. And if they wanted to make Punch-Out, if they wanted to make a sequel to Punch-Out, turn that Mr. Dream version into a Punch-Out 2. It would have been the exact same game, but with a different boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then there you go. Yeah. You got Punch-Out 2. Anyways.
I would argue you could almost have made an exact copy to that game just with different characters. Not even have to change the game that much at all. Just with different characters. And people would have bought it.
Even if you wanted to use these intergalactic aliens, but just made the game exactly like Punch-Out.
Right. But no, they hired out guys that know cricket. They don't know boxing. They know cricket. And
I kind of see it now. The game kind of feels like cricket a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. If it was a cricket game, it would be a lot. I would understand it more.
Actually, I'm drawing a little bit of a parallel. I'll get to it when we talk about the game, but I am drawing a little bit of parallel between cricket and Power Punch 2.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, just to kind of finish up, if they were so disgruntled as well about the, you know, part of me wants to think, what if, like, the game was created for Mike Tyson, Beam brought it to Nintendo, even Nintendo may have even noticed that it was bad, but they weren't even going to put Mike Tyson's name on it at this point. Why not just go ahead and release it? You know, instead of cutting your losses and just, you know, losing the money in development, just release it, see if you can get anybody to buy it. I don't know. Maybe that was part of it.
You mean as Mike Tyson, or are you saying that's what they did?
I'm saying that's what they did. I'm saying they just.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Since Mike Tyson's name wasn't going to be on it, it wasn't that big of a deal just to drop it.
Yeah, and they already paid the money to have it made.
Right. And, you know, you wouldn't want to bring in another name, like Evander Holyfield or something, because you wouldn't want to tie anybody's name to this game except for Mark Tough Guy Tyler. So.
You know, there's probably a Mark Tough Guy Tyler out there somewhere that's really upset by the fact that this game came out with a Mark Tyler on it. He may have even been a boxer.
I wonder if there was anybody out there named Mark Tyler that, after this game was created, started being called Tough Guy.
Maybe.
And he was just like the skinny accountant or something. He wasn't even a fighter. But they started calling Tough Guy because of this game.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm stretching now.
I went on a quest.
Michael's quest to find the cart. Ooh, zug zug.
Ooh. So tell me about your quest.
Well, my quest began in town, as usual. I did not have this game as a kid, by the way. So this is not one I grew up with.
Uh-huh.
Thank God. But I started local. Couldn't find it anymore. So I moved on to the internets, where I found it in lots of places. So I went ahead and just ordered it. It was
one penny.
Extremely cheap.
I'm going to say one penny.
Probably, it may have been one penny. I don't remember because it's been a while since I picked
it
up.
But, it's just money. You just got so much money. You don't even notice it coming out of your bank account. Oh, yeah.
I just don't remember when it was I picked up this game. I do remember, though, that when I got it, the guy accidentally sent me Punch-Out.
Nice.
So
did you just keep it?
Already, I ended up with... Yeah, I did. I have three copies of Punch-Out now. I've got two with Mike Tyson, one with Mr. Dream. But, so he accidentally sent me Punch-Out. And then he said, you know, just keep Punch-Out. You'd probably rather play that one anyways. And he sent me Power Punch 2.
What if he was trying?
So it was nice.
What if he did that on purpose? He was like, this guy ordered... Power Punch 2? Really? No. I'm going to do this guy favor.
I need to send him Punch Out.
Obviously, maybe. He's never played Punch Out if he's ordering this game. So
little did he know that I co-host a podcast and we have to play Power Punch 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Because we're playing them all. Mm. Remember, everyone.
That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It's quite the task, but we're up to it, I think.
We may not. We're just going to play Punch-Out, ever.
Yeah, and people were rioting in the streets right now.
Three people.
Yeah, the two people watching us live.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did play this game. Did you play this game?
The game discussion.
I did, and I don't know, it just wasn't, the controls aren't very good, I don't think. It seems like it's much more, it's not as fluid as Punch-Out, you know?
I'm going to say this now, and I'll probably say it two or three more times, and then definitely at the end, they completely missed the mark. I mean, they just have no idea, they have no idea what made Punch-Out good. Great. I mean, it's just, and here's my parallel that I was going to draw. You know, when you play baseball games on the NES, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going up to bat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can move your batter around, and he's like he doesn't really move. He just kind of slides back and forth in
back
the
and
strike
forth.
Zone.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He just kind of slides. That's what I feel like. That's what the mechanic of this game kind of felt like. He just kind of slid back and forth, getting ready to box.
Yeah.
And then when you punch, it's just you don't know if you're hitting him. There's no feedback as to,
yeah.
Hey, I'm really landing these punches.
It's weird.
It felt like I was playing in like a giant tub of butter or something. I don't really know how
it seems slow. It seemed choppy. like you said, you don't know if you're hitting anything, what you're doing. It just doesn't feel like you know what you're doing ever. You know?
Right. I don't know. And see, the Punch-Out, the original Punch-Out, was more of a rhythm game than a sports game. It was kind of, you got into a rhythm, you counter-punched and you punched. This game, they don't telegraph their punches, so you really can't counter-punch. When you punch them, there's no, like, rhythmic, I don't know, it's nothing like Punch-Out. If you like Punch-Out, don't even dare touch this game.
No, but there's no reason.
The thing that really started it off for me, though, was you start the game, and it's like you're on an intergalactic spaceship, or like an intergalactic training spaceship. And the first, and they say, "Do you want to train? You can train." I was like, "Oh, this is cool. You actually get to control the training segment of this game." Well, I was thinking, "Oh, this is something new," because you know, in Punch-Out, you didn't really get to train or anything. You get to increase your stats, but then the first thing that happens is the guy throws up those gloves to punch into, and I couldn't hit a single one, even though I was hitting it. It didn't. I mean, it showed Mark Tyson or whatever his name is punching it.
Mark Tyler, thank you very
nothing
much.
Nothing happened. I'm sorry. I said Mark Tyson on purpose, but
yeah.
So
I wonder what this game would have been like, hypothetically speaking, if, let's say, Mike Tyson didn't get in his legal trouble, and he was released as Mike Tyson's intergalactic power punch. Would there have been, the game still is the same, let's say, but do you think that it would have been any more popular just because of the Mike Tyson name?
Probably. I think it would have been more popular. I also think that, I have a feeling that Nintendo would have taken more care into it.
Yeah.
I feel like if Beam would have presented them this game and it still had the Mike Tyson name and it didn't have the, you know, Mike Tyson didn't get in trouble and it didn't have this aura of, ooh, we can't use Mike Tyson, I feel like they would have taken it and been like, we need to fix this or figure it out or something. But since there was all this legal trouble with Tyson, and then they get the game done and it stinks and they have to take Mike Tyson out of it, I feel like Nintendo was just kind of like, ugh. They just kind of threw their hands up and said, just forget it. Just release it as it is. Who cares?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. I think at that point they were just like, we're not going to get anything out of this game, so let's just cut our losses, release it. If some hapless sap out there buys this game, then so be it. So, just another bad game for somebody out there to buy. So
yeah, it's hard to think. It's hard to think that this passed that Nintendo seal of approval test, though. As is, I mean, it's that bad.
You think they got more lenient over time?
Maybe it could be, because this did come out, what, 92, you said?
Yeah.
So maybe nearing the end of the lifespan of the NES, they decided to just release more games.
We also have to talk about, you also have to think, like, if you look at what we were talking about with David Crane, name drop, in the earlier episode, where he was talking
we're going to keep dropping that name until Kingdom Come.
Yeah, pick that.
Hey, by the way, if anybody doesn't know, we had David Crane on an episode like a month, two, 3 months ago. But
yeah,
go listen to it if you haven't.
But anyway, what he was talking about, where you know, you were asking him about, you know, the video game crash and burn from Atari, and Nintendo came back. And once Nintendo got a little success, they were very guarded about, you know, releasing games and they didn't want to release too many games that were just bad, because they didn't want to follow the same fate, right? And maybe by now, 1992, they're so successful now, they could be more lenient, because it wouldn't matter. There's so many games coming out now for the NES. by this time, Super Nintendo is, you know, coming out. The success is not going to ride and die on one game.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, so maybe their mentality changes at that point.
This is us just thinking this. This is not actually historical tidbits and trivia. This is just...
Oh, no, the history is done. That segment is over.
Right. We're talking about gameplay.
Right.
Some. A little bit.
If you want to talk about the gameplay.
Let me just talk about the graphics for a minute. Character designs suck. The colors are...
Oh, come on.
The colors are very bland.
I thought that was... Okay, you're talking about the actual sprite. As far as the character.
Okay, design. You think Borg... You think that's a cool guy to fight? Borg Man or whatever he was, whoever he was?
Maybe, but Lex Lump Blocker? I mean, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Don't like it. I think it's terrible.
Derek Nodden?
I'm still waiting for a winner.
Alpha Bonehead?
Mm-mm. Don't like it.
Superboard?
Superborg? Nope. No, just
no. They're pretty bad. Flymo? What about Flymo?
I do no. Don't like Flymo.
No. What I like is how he says the same thing after every fight. I knew I could win. I came here to fight. Who's next?
Yeah.
He even says that after he beats King Flymo. Which is the last guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, hey, buddy. Okay, you're, it's enough.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. I got a manual.
Oh. Let's hear it.
And I've got a treat for the people actually watching live, I think.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Huh?
Black screen. Oh, you're going to show us the manual.
I'm showing the manual as I read it.
I like the advisory. Okay. Read before using your NES.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. In this corner, in the near future, Tyler lands left. Another. Now he follows it up with a hard right to the body. The challenger is hurt. The last body blow left him with legs of rubber. Tyler is now all over him. The referee is watching closely, ready to step in if he has to. Tyler connects with a straight right to the chin, then a left that his opponent never saw coming. He goes down in a heap on the canvas. 8, 9, 10, you're out. What? Did he start at 8?
Well...
Oh, maybe there's just...
Is it... Do they say you're out? I don't think they say you're out. Isn't that more like a...
They say knockout,
well, again,
right?
Cricket. Do they say, huh? Well, I just
knockout.
Think they say fight's over. They just wave their arm out. I don't think they say, you're out. Maybe, do they say you're out in cricket?
Maybe. Maybe that's just a carryover from cricket.
Yeah. I think so. Anyway.
Okay,
so.
Yeah,
he started
apparently,
the day.
Apparently Tyler is it. Yeah, so he's held the Unified Championship belt for 8 years, from 1998 to 2006. Meanwhile, watching the fight only a few light years away is Gordo Gloop, chairman of the Intergalactic Boxing Federation, the IGBF. Mm-hmm. Gloop, formerly the Titanium Jaw, is furious about the 127,000 Skellogs. $31 he spent for the pay-per-view satellite.
I like that they translated that to us, that not to make it sound like it's a lot of money. We're just going to show you it's just $31.
Yeah, he's mad about it though. $31 for that pay-per-view.
Right.
Let's see. Sure, no man on earth can beat Mr. Tyler. The boxers on Earth are nothing more than circus sideshow entertainers. But how would their challenger measure up against the best of the IGBF? Only one way to find out. Invite Mark Tough Guy Tyler to trade Vegas for Venus, Atlantic City for NR Gulon 5. Give him the opportunity to fight some contenders who are truly out of this world. I'm going to stop there, but it goes on.
Yeah.
And you can do the work. It shows you the workout and the pre-fight training shit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have read this before I tried to do the workout. You can skip the workout, of course. This is one thing I always liked about this. The headlines when you lose. It's like, well, I guess I don't know if it happens. I don't know if the headlines happen when you win, but when you lose, it's like this kid showing up the newspaper headlines and says, "Read all about it. Tough guy, you know, tough guy's taken out by an alien from another planet."
Well, you know, he's undefeated like before he goes out there.
The news reaches Earth, you know.
Mm-hmm. Rather quickly.
Oh, here's some of the opponents. I like these drawings of the opponents.
9763 board. It's like a prototype. Mm-hmm.
How far did you make it in this game, by the way?
Derek Nodden. I didn't go very far.
Wow, you made it further than me. I couldn't beat the Borg. I tried again and again and again. I just could not. I could not beat 9763 board.
We have an effective game.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, the characters are cool. I like a Pugly Postronic, Positron, Pugly Positronic.
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, I take it back. I take it back. I like a few of the characters.
Lex Lumbucker. I only like Lex Lumbucker because I like to say his name.
Slumbucker. I thought that sounds like a super move one of the guys has in the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you with a Slumbucker.
Uh-huh. Reminds me of Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
The wrestler.
So, Lex Luthor?
What?
Lex Luger? No. Wasn't it Lex Luger?
Right. It's Lex Luger. You're right.
Yeah.
Just give him a Superman and my WWF mixed up, man. I can't help it. What are you going to do? Right. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So don't play this game. Don't play it.
No.
In fact...
No, we don't. The dudes do not give their seal of approval for this game.
In fact, I encourage you to not watch anything about this game. After you listen to this podcast, just pretend like this game never existed.
Mm-hmm. On game FAQs, 52 users owned it, or you know, they rated it a 2.75 out of 5. That's from 10 votes. I didn't feel like that's very good. Like I didn't feel like the game was 2.75.
I'm sure there's a couple outliers.
Huh?
I feel like there's a couple outliers in there somewhere.
Yeah, probably. The difficulty, they rated it as unforgiving. So, thought that would be interesting. Unforgiving. Can't play it. So, no. Anyway, do you come up with any trophies for this game?
That's what I was about to ask you.
How dare you?
Retrofitted trophies.
Now somebody did grade it as the poor man's punch out.
Okay. Was it cheaper? Maybe it was cheaper. Okay, here we go. I've got at least one achievement. My first achievement is Tyson Who, and that is beat the game. It's a really simple achievement.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. You got another one? This game was so bad, I couldn't.
You need some time?
To go with it. I don't know. If you give me time, I'll get just come up with something like Beat the Snake or something. It's just bad.
Okay. But let me think of another one real quick then. Let's see. How about I'm Like Butter, Baby, because I'm on a roll. And that is a slide back and forth across the screen. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. So, essentially just play the game.
Yeah.
What you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Power Punch? I have one called Power Punch. And that is use your uppercut.
How about this?
I'm just making them up. Okay.
This is how you actually win the game. You take it outside and you burn it.
Hmm. What do you call that achievement?
Actually win the game.
Okay. Hey, I got an idea. You could take the game out and put it, like, tape it to your heavy bag in your house, if you have a heavy bag. You just tape it to it, and you just beat the snot out of it. That to get out of that achievement, it's called Beat the Snot Out of It.
Nice. I like it.
Okay, so how about a rating?
The game rating.
Oh boy, we've already done dog turd. Monkey turd?
Yeah. Some other form of turd. No. What did we do dog turd for? This game's got to be worse than whatever that was.
Deadly Towers.
I don't know. It's close.
About
we could do. Plant. How about a favorite vomit story?
Well, I think mine and yours is going to be the same.
Okay, so then that's what we give it. We give it Justin and Michael's vomit story to be told on a later show.
You're not going to tell it?
Not today.
I think you should tell it. Give the listeners.
I'll let you tell
treat.
It. You go ahead. I may not remember it. You better tell it.
Well, we took our friend. Should I say his name?
Yeah, it's good. It's okay. We've already talked about him pulling a which is not this, by the way.
No, this is not pulling a Our friend had turned 21. We took him out for a good time, as most
a night of debauchery,
right? And I guess he'd had a little bit too much to drink, and there was about 7 or 8 of us sitting around the table here at this local bar at the University of Tennessee, which I don't even think is open anymore. And all of a sudden,
shut it down.
Yeah, the health department came. just throws up, and we're not talking about just a little bit of like upchuck that just kind of comes up, and you know, it's controlled. This is uncontrolled vomit everywhere on the table, on Michael mostly. And
this is projectile style,
and it was just like, and it was not even, you know, how most people when they throw up, it's like there's some heaves and some like, oh, you know, back up, guys, back up, back up. No, it was just like, there it is, on the ground, on the table, on everything. And everybody just looks at him.
Man.
Had to be the single most, the most embarrassing thing in his life. I could not imagine the embarrassment of that. But.
And then the one of the bartenders or somebody comes and says, you're going to have to leave.
As if that even needed to be said.
That was... I mean, that was just the cap to the evening.
It's like it didn't like, like, what am I supposed to do after that? We were like, you gotta leave.
Yeah, yeah, he turned to me and asked me, what am I supposed to do? So I left too, because I was covered in vomit. So.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, so that's what we give this game. That story is basically the rating for this game.
Just,
and if we haven't ruined our family friendly podcast name right there, mm-hmm. then I don't think we'll ever ruin it.
But yeah, that was that, the irony of the fact that the guy comes up and says, you're gonna have to leave. As if just be like, oh well, if it's just vomit, we'll just move on. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway.
Speaking of moving on, how about some listener feedback?
All the way from outer space, listener feedback. Yes.
All right. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the listener feedback for this game.
There's not much, really.
Jay Jorgensen.
Aaron Hickman gave us some really good ones. Yeah, and Jay Jorgensen did too. Go ahead and go with Jay's.
Jay Jorgensen said, is this really a game? That's his first little feedback. This is really a
yes,
game?
Yes, Jay, unfortunately it is. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately it is.
Right. Go ahead with Aaron Hickman.
Aaron's is a little long, but I'll go ahead and read mostly the whole thing. I'll paraphrase a little bit. He said, this game is a terrible move on Nintendo's part. They honestly should have made a Mike Tyson's Punch-Out sequel themselves on the NES, because outsourcing to Beam Software did them no favors. Thankfully, Nintendo redeemed themselves with Super Punch-Out on the SNES. Mm-hmm. Agreed. That game is one of my favorites of all time. Anyways, I played Power Punch 2 at a friend's house when I was 8 before I knew how it related to Punch-Out. I remember being so confused. Where is Power Punch 1? As it stands, this game only serves to highlight how much better Punch-Out is. I think it's a cool concept, boxing aliens in an intergalactic match, but the execution just isn't there. For another game with a similar concept, I can't say that word, with a similar concept, but better gameplay, try Teleboxer on Virtual Boy. That's right. I'm telling you, a Virtual Boy game is better. Deal it with it, dudes.
I'm not sure we could argue with that.
No. I've never played Teleboxer, but I'm pretty sure that's got to be better than this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think
punching a brick wall could
probably
be.
Yeah. That's pretty much the gist of this feedback we've got, I think. Did you see any more?
No. That's really pretty much it.
Let me check... Let's check the wall here, and let me check the Google Voice and see if anybody called us. I'm not sure if anybody's called us or not.
Jesse Benson just said, enjoying the live feed, so that's one of our viewers, if he's still on.
All right. We got somebody watching. That's cool. He probably left after the vomit talk.
Yeah. After we couldn't control our laughter thinking about this story about Carl vomiting.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure Carl doesn't listen to the podcast, so no worries there. But
no calls. Our friends don't listen to the podcast, so
yeah.
And if he does, Carl, I'm terribly sorry. Nobody knows you anyway, so
yeah,
I wouldn't worry about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Kind of a short episode.
We got a.
Although,
actually, I don't think it was.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't think it was.
Okay. Now, do you want to introduce your what you've got going on here on the Zazzle store?
Yeah, I can mention Zazzle. What I've done is, most of you may know what Zazzle is by now, but Zazzle is like a store where you can put up T-shirts and stuff, and you don't actually have to make them ahead of time. They just make them as people buy them,
mm-hmm.
and we get a cut of the sale, like a little bit of commission from it. And the plan is, if anybody buys shirts, which I don't know if you will or not, there's one really sweet shirt up on there that says, Tom Arnold would be impressed. I listen to Two Dudes in an S. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty catchy phrase, a nice shirt. And the other one's a cool little shirt. It's got a generic controller on it, mm-hmm. a very generic controller, and it says Two Dudes in a Nest.
It has no labeling of any kind.
Right. There's no labeling. It's just a generic controller. It says Two Dudes in a Nest. So both cool shirts. I think you can choose colors and stuff, and you can buy shirts. Any money that comes from that, the proceeds will go to our bandwidth cost and promoting the show. We're not going to use it to...
And a weekend in
buy
Vegas.
...games or anything. Yeah, we're not going to take it to Atlantic City and just gamble it away.
But we might take it to Armageddon 5. Whatever.
I do like what Daniel Walker... I posted about it on Facebook, and Daniel Walker has a comment on there I kind of like. He says, "Hey, I'm sure it costs serious dough for Michael to have this... have his carts since 1988.
Storage, man.
Because every show I say I've had it since I was a kid. You know? Mm-hmm. So, anyways. All right. So, we do have a little bit of an announcement to make that may bum a few dudes out. But trust us that it's in everyone's best interest. Just and I are going to take a little bitty break. So, 2-3, maybe 4 weeks tops. Just to kind of, you know, recoup the juices, keep the creative juices flowing. We don't want to burn ourselves out. Doing a weekly podcast is pretty hard. So, and we'll probably do this every 25, 26 episodes. You know, every 6 months, we'll take us a little break. Because dudes need breaks, you know? So, but we promise that when we come back, we're going to come back with a bang. There's big stuff planned for when we come back. Really top-notch games. Yes, and some top-notch games. So, we will come back with a punch, if you will. So, take that how you want to. Yeah. You want to shout us out, Justin?
Sure. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on pretty much every social media outlet. Also, you can always look at us, get all of our older podcasts. Little tidbits about the show. Follow our social media on either the Two Dudes in a Nest app, which can be downloaded on the Google Play Store, or through our website, nesdudes.com.
Yeah. And we're at like 90 people using the app, so I'm impressed.
Yeah. Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold would be impressed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When we get to 100, we may give a game out or something. I don't know.
Woo-hoo.
Giveaway of Steam game. I don't know. Anyways, yeah. All right, here comes the noises for weeks from now's game. All right? Thank you, everybody.
See you in a little bit.